Welcome back home, buddy.
Our target is an engine of greed. You kill a couple of CEOs, you make the local news. You take down 20, you make history.
What is this now?
Hostages.
My sister is missing. I got trouble with that.
Let's go.
Big bottom, talk about bone cakes, my girl's got them.
What a song.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast, filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing. You know, one of our fans texted us, black processing. We chronologically critique the Hulkamania era, pay-per-view by pay-per-view. And we're back with a special bonus episode. It's the Marine Homefront featuring The Miz. Average. Marine Homefront, released 5th March 2013. How did this come about? Well, while we're waiting on recording the Rumble review, myself and V1 thought we'd give you a little bonus episode to tidy over. Aren't we lovely balls? Billed as Mike the Miz Mizanin, in his first film, the direct-to-DVD The Marine Homefront. Surprised they've gone back to this well once again.
Definitely after the second one anyway. That's a horror show.
But it legitimately is WWE's most lucrative film franchise.
Yes, that is correct. Actually, did the second one make a penny?
It made 400 pennies.
Excellent. Second most profitable movie ever.
So let's give you a quick background about WWE Studios.
Yeah.
WWE Studios, their film division, is WWE's biggest money drain. Linda's political campaigns being entirely bankrolled by the McMahon's wallets would be illegal to use WWE money.
Thank fucking God. Massive failures.
Yes, $97 million spent on her failed Senate campaigns so far. Although in 2010, their studio division profited $400,000. In 2011, it lost...
10 million?
27.6 million.
Oh, God.
And
that's about as much as he lost for the XFL, right?
No, the XFL lost $63 million back in 2002. Yeah, and while we're at it, do you remember WWE's restaurant in Times Square? That lost them $34 million.
Are you serious?
The numbers will be higher, but that includes the tax breaks from the next year. It's worth noting that WWE only leaves a fraction of what the film loses, as there are other investors to shoulder the burden.
Ah, smart businessman.
Well,
it's very debatable.
And a further $3.6 million last year. So starting in 2013, WWE Films is almost $31 million in the red. WWE refused to wave the white flag with its film division, despite their brand being a fucking detriment in the movie industry. They are a laughing joke, and simply put, even wrestling fans stay away from wrestling films.
Ah, take your time to open up a second restaurant.
Hire a guy that won't fleece them out of it. So what do you think wrestling fans don't watch wrestling movies?
I think wrestling fans do watch wrestling movies. I think they don't pay for wrestling movies. I think that's a bigger problem.
Fair enough. Like, wrestling is renowned for terrible acting, writing, hokey storylines, and, you know, I'm not going to pay to see this shit.
Yeah.
It's all right. WWE Studios, its biggest money spinners.
The Marine One is the biggest money maker, right?
Yes, very good. Yeah. The Marine One, starring John Cena, made $14.6 million.
Whoa! I think most of that was made on DVD sales, right, as opposed to theatrical.
Yes, that always with WWE films, they fare better on DVD release and on Netflix than they do in the box office. Second biggest money spinner, The Marine 2.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
It made 700 grand.
Who paid for that?
Max. where we found a worse actor than Teddy DiBiase Jr., the wrestler, and that's Teddy DiBiase, the actor. The other money spinner was Behind Kennedy Lines, Colombia, which made 100 grand.
Jesus Christ. They're probably their two worst movies.
A gratingly poor action movie with Ken Kennedy, a.k.a. TNA's Mr. Anderson. And you might think See No Evil made a profit. Technically it did, but WWE actually lost $3 million on it because they picked up the tab on the production costs.
So they're,
you know, investors.
Shame, because that's probably their best movie. Actually, Austin's one I thought was good.
Yeah, The Condemned. Great film. WWE Studios' biggest box office bombs were...
The Condemned.
Yeah. Number one, The Condemned. It lost $6.6 million.
That's so sad, because it's their best movie by a mile.
Yes. Featuring Stone Cold Steve Austin. Basically a remake of Battle Royale. With Vinnie Jones.
Needed more hot Japanese girls in it. Swinging balls on chains.
That's What I Am. Starring Randy Orton in a bit part. Who'll take it to the papers if he has to. That lost $4.9 million. And The Reunion, another John Cena action film straight to DVD, lost $4.2 million. And Knucklehead.
I was just going to say, what about Knucklehead?
Yes, Knucklehead lost $4 million. That's Big Show's comedy film.
2 minutes in and they're making fart jokes.
That's all he got. It's all in the repertoire. It's a shame, I think Big Show's a funny guy.
He's, so do I.
Sounds like a lovely bloke to be around. Him and Kevin Nash. Reckon it'd be great on the boozer with those lads. Yeah, so 2011's film saw WWE try to limit their losses by having the wrestlers in supporting roles and releasing films either with an extremely limited theatrical run, like Knucklehead, was shown in 6 cinemas, 3 showings each. And
Jesus.
It brought in a whopping less than $1,000 in the box office. Or straight to DVD instead.
Doesn't bringing a movie out right to DVD... Does that not put it in people's mind, this is not worth buying because it never came out in the cinema?
But, like, that kind of having to put it in the cinema loses them more money. So, thankfully, their ego isn't big enough to let's lose more money bringing it in the cinema. So,
yeah, okay.
If we put it in 3 cinemas, they can make more of a profit or less of a loss.
Fucking hell.
So, they should fucking pack it in. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So WWE's plan in 2013 to reduce losses these days is to co-finance other people's films and hopefully broker getting a wrestler in a minor role, much like Wade Barrett's non-speaking role in Colin Farrell's Dead Man Down, or shoehorning David Otunga into Halle Berry's...
Oh, he wasn't even in the ad.
Well, like...
Amazed.
Barrett, you have to slow down the trailer to see him. Like. However, they're still big on producing money-losing direct-to-DVD films with the wrestlers as the star. And that's what we have here.
Oh.
Now, let's do a quick recap of the previous 2 films. The Marine 1, starring John Cena. US Marine Jan Drayton returns home. His very attractive citation needed... Wife Kate is kidnapped and he busts some heads to rescue her. The Marine 2, starring Teddy DiBiase. US Marine Joe Linwood returns to his hotel room. His very attractive citation needed. Wife Robin is kidnapped and he busts some heads to rescue her.
I can see where this is going.
The Marine 3, starring The Miz. US Marine Jake Carter.
Oh my god, that was his name. Yeah. I just called him Miz.
Yeah, that's fine. Returns home. His very attractive citation needed. Sister Lily is kidnapped and he busts some heads to rescue her.
I'd argue that point. I didn't find her hot at all. I wanted to punch her head in.
His somewhat attractive citation needed. Sister Lily.
His attractive to some. Sister.
Quick note that Randy Orton was supposed to be in The Marine 2 and then the Marine 3, but he wasn't in either. He cited injuries for the former and backlash from the real US Marines for the latter.
He went AWOL, didn't he?
That's right. Prior to becoming a wrestler, the Viper was a Marine who went AWOL to get out of service.
Imagine that petulant shitebag being a fucking soldier. Mr. I'm gonna shit in your bag and ruin my fucking room and trash it up. Get out. He was never gonna be a soldier.
Unless you just womp his ass every day.
That's a great word. I love to womp your ass.
Scott Viper directed and co-wrote this film, as he did with Stone Cold the Condemned. So let's hope it fares better. Let's run down the film and complain afterwards.
Excellent.
We start off with an opening montage of Miz's backstory. We're calling him Miz, by the way.
Yes.
It's just easier this way. A none too subtle advertisement to be a Marine.
This was horrible. Seriously, they have these ads on UFC shows that, you know, join us, we're awesome. This is all it was. Just Miz reading it.
Nice stock footage as well. Mm. Jeez. And returning to small town Bridgeton to see his two sisters, Lily and Amanda. Now, Amanda is the taller blonde one, the reliable, i.e. no character, older sister. And Lily, the truant, mildly rebellious younger sister, younger being a relative term. So Lily is played by Ashley Bell. She's Nell from The Last Exorcism. Also from the sequel. The second Last Exorcism.
Wouldn't that be the prequel? It's the second last one.
Oh, right.
The penultimate.
Oh, that should have been the Renegade. The penultimate warrior.
Oh. His gimmick can be that he had an audition in the WWF 30 years ago to be the warrior and failed. So he's the penultimate warrior. It's brilliant.
And Amanda Camille Sullivan has a bit part in The Butterfly Effect. So we have our damsels in distress, and it leaves it open for a Miz love interest. How about that? So there's your damsels, and we'll leave it open for, you know,
I suppose love interest. It is a small town.
His old best friend Harkin, played by Jared Kiso, is the chief of police, the beef with no cheese, who brings him home, and the four make awkward small talk.
Yeah, they mail bond on the way home. It's very weird. Mrs. Blonde Sister makes a joke about Mrs. Beard being really terrible, and I just wonder if this is like added in on purpose, because in real life, state of your beard, Miss.
I do much prefer him without the faux hawk. He's got kind of slicked hair now.
Regular, he looks much better, you know. They have a little barbecue and a little get together, and their potato salad looks amazing. I want some of that. I love Cartapple Salad.
So it's quite heavy-handed, the theme of economic depression. It's prevalent throughout the entire film. Talk about restaurants closing, sister can't find a job, can't afford the house, and the next scene.
Mm.
Cut to a bank heist, which starts with Dark Knight bank heist music. Because at the start of Dark Knight, it's like... And the start of the music on this one is... We meet our antagonist, Jonas Pope, played by Neil McDonough, who was also in The Rock's Walking Tall. Instead of stealing the cash, the group burn it, making a statement calling banks greedy and they should only take what they need.
I thought that was pretty cool. Immediately, he's less of a fucking black and white, just, you know, he's evil, Mrs. Good. It's like, he's got a reason for doing what he's doing, and it makes sense.
Is that...
And that's the root to all good baddies. You should empathise with them. You know,
I'd be a bit worried about that. Like, you need good writing to follow that. Otherwise, you risk people hating the good guy and liking the bad guy.
That's what happened to me, of course.
So, the Miz, his name is Jake Carter. Sister mildly defies him. She heads off with boyfriend Darren, played by Jeff C. Ballard, whom Miz doesn't like. And so starts the story arc of Darren proving himself.
He looks like such a doucher, doesn't he? Did you notice
he's mildly cretinous?
Miz offers him a beer. He's driving your fucking sister. Don't give him booze. Jesus Christ, Miz, you retarded person.
So the heel's name is Pope. So Pope orders his cronies to have everything ready for his secret plan by tomorrow. The smarter slash distrustful crony Eckert, which is Michael Eklund, who is also in Halle Berry's film with David Otunga, asks him for the plot, and Pope says no, wait until later in the film.
Yep.
At the bar, some arsehole starts a fight and Miz incapacitates him rather easily. And then he like pauses and is like, I didn't know if I had these skills.
You've been trained in them for years, haven't you?
Hart chews a mate over his attitude since returning.
How is the Miz the baddie in this? First of all, it's his mate that starts the fight. Then Miz tries to break it off, being a decent guy. And then the guy who his mate started on doesn't leave. So Miz is like, fuck this shit, I'm gonna smash your face off the fucking bar. And then all of a sudden he's the baddie.
Maybe it's because it's a plot device. The heels meet up with the seller of RDX, not Red Dwarf 10. It's a powerful explosive who inanely makes the exchange, then tries to extort more money out of them.
What was with his accent? Terrible acting 101. I'm not going to do the accent.
Oh, come on.
It just came out of some fucking crazy Aussie thing. I tell you what he sounded like. What are you buying?
That'd be amazing.
What are you buying? Got a selection of good things on sale, stranger.
Not interested. I love the merchant.
He was great.
Oh, man. I miss
him. He was awesome.
Well, you might want to hold on there. Gentlemen, I think we have a problem.
Yeah, conveniently, the deal goes down next to where Lily and Darren are having a chat.
Ginger and Doucher are having a chat. It's the typical small town US bullshit about we've got to get out of this town, we've got to make it big. I don't get that way of thinking. Do these idiots actually believe that because you live in a city, you're better?
Well, maybe it's a case of like they don't have proper schools, so you can't go to college here, so you literally need to leave. There's no education or jobs here in this town. As opposed to, I'm going to be a better person, which is a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, but they weren't talking about going to college. They're just like, we've got to get out. And do
cunts,
what?
Like.
Push fucking crack.
You can move so much more drugs. When Pope kills the seller, Lily screams and the heels chase them down, taking them hostage. But not before she calls her sister, who informs Jake, the Miz, to have a quick get-ready montage. Yeah, so now we have the plot of the movie.
And surprise, surprise, it's the first two. Wife, girlfriend, sister.
Excellent. Evolution, right there. The bad guys explain they're not into killing kids, these 30-year-old kids, but decide to show them their gang hideout, everyone's faces, and referring to each other by name. At the crime scene, which is Grayson's junkyard, the Miz takes out two cronies and extracts from them that Lily's being held in the old ferry.
Some of the editing during the fight scene where Miz killed the two guys was horrific. It was like he was teleporting. He'd be 2 feet from him and then a camera cut and he's mid-move. It's like, you are not a tomorrow person.
I just thought maybe he just pressed down up. Somehow the FBI are around, led by the gruff but with the heart of gold, Wells.
With the heart of gold?
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a while.
They team up with the faces and explain to them Pope's backstory, how the economy and a greedy insurance company ruined his family and is planning a large-scale attack. Does that make him a terrorist?
Domestic terrorist.
As you can see there, he's more of a radical activist. Is that the same thing?
Yeah. Anyone that's willing to kill someone for their belief is a terrorist, yeah.
Burgard. We're told the FBI have a mole in the heel group, and Pope incorrectly thinks it's head full of hair but with a comb over guy.
Is this angry baddie that was doubting him a while
yes,
ago?
Eckert, yes, Eckert, yeah. Pope explains his motives to the kidnapped Lily, quite a sensical speech. Made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was beginning to side with Pope by this point. I was like, I agree with everything you were saying. I hate this little ginger shitebag and her boyfriend. In general, he's right. I am totally with Pope.
Mm. He says he hates greedy corporate America, reiterating that he just wants to be heard. When he leaves, his dirty Mexican goon makes overtures to rape her.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Before the movie rating rises, he's killed by another crony who reveals himself to be Alex Sims, a federal agent, who frees both hostages, leaving them to hide in a locked room.
Where did this FBI agent come from all of a sudden? I thought that he was a baddie, but he just killed him because this guy's a rapist and they're not that evil, you know? They're people with a point to prove. But then he's like, I'm an FBI agent. I've been here all along. So why are you not in touch with fucking FBI guy with a heart of gold?
The heels are made aware of the FBI surrounding them and kill two by rifle. That's pretty cool, actually. Miz disagrees with Wells making the call for the SWAT team to move in. But you know, throughout the film, I'm looking for, you know, some kind of smart-ass quip that I can use at the start of the episode. It just never came.
No, no. None of the, like, stick around and all that shit.
Remember when I said I would kill you last?
I lied.
Where was that? That makes cheesy action one-liners.
Yeah.
Make an action film. Yeah. So Miz and Wells tell each other to fuck off.
Fuck off. Let me do my job.
Fuck off.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Because there are thousands of lives at stake, apparently, and Miz gets handcuffed by his mate, Hark.
It's at this point where Wells is definitely heel-turning, like, Jesus Christ, this poor guy's sister is being held hostage, and he's jamming his gun in his face, like, no, Miz, don't go mental.
But Miz was right. The heels make easy work of the SWAT team in like a minute-long shootout.
This is meant to... Actually, sorry. I don't know whether you think this or other people think this, but I feel that in movies and TV, a lot of times they go out of their way to make cops, FBI, SWAT, and all of those guys look like idiots. Because the point is... The Marines get things done, and the cops are just cops. But the Marines is America. It's America's best. And so they go out of their way to make these highly trained squad in riot gear. There's more of them than there are baddies. They just get annihilated. And fucking Tart of Gold is like, I'm not pulling them back. No, no. Let them keep on getting killed. Like,
maybe it's just to show the devastatingness of the heels in that they overwhelm the most second highly trained force in America to make them a more credible threat because, you know, 20 armed guys, they're nothing compared to the Mazine.
To the Miz.
Hark sets Jake free and gives him one handgun to presumably infiltrate the entire ship.
And then he makes the point of just saying that I'm pretty much going to get sacked over this, so you better fucking save her, like.
But if you save the day, there'll be no...
It doesn't matter, yeah. Sure.
Repercussions.
Sure, all of the cops are dead, so they don't know what happened.
Do you think most people don't like the police, so that's why they're portrayed negatively in most movies?
I definitely think that in modern times, way more people have no time for the police than back in the day, like, yeah.
Like, the only police that get shit done are the... radical police that do things by themselves.
The fucking, yeah, like Vic Mackey from the fucking Shield. Like, yeah.
Danny Glover.
Jack Bauer breaking fingers.
When the hostages try to flee, Lily gets recaptured. Federal agent Snitch calls the faces, but buff crony catches him in the act and kills him. Pope offers to release Lily if he's given his specific getaway demands, which is a particular state trooper and the car. Miz, showing some impressive agility, makes his way onto the boat, dispatching a guard.
He speared a guy with a piece of rebar. That was really fucking awesome.
Miz makes it to the deck, but idiotically gives up his secret infiltration by shooting some crony from far range.
Yeah.
Because he was doing fucking awesome. And then he just blammo.
Right. What I have written down here, the worst / most inaccurate gunfight in Hollywood history. there's a guy chasing Miz, and then he runs downstairs. And so then the camera goes back up to the baddie, who then runs down the stairs and immediately gets shot. Just brap, and he's dead. Useless.
Comb-over crony Eckert kills and replaces a similar-looking state trooper, so he will pose as the driver. A lookalike, despite his unshaven beard and big spick moustache on him. A fight scene with Miz and buff crony. It's actually better than expected. I thought generally well-hidden offense.
Really?
Using quick cuts and camera angles. Except for one really awful knee. You see, it's holy shit, man. Drive a truck through that.
As I have it here. Miz hits him with a yoga teleport.
This scene took 8 hours to shoot, so there you go.
Did you see the gruesome death Miz gives this guy after he beats him? He picks up the pipe and just starts leathering his mush out of it. It was disgusting.
It was surprisingly dark.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, as he's bashing him, some other bad guy comes behind him with a machine gun and misses Miz point blank when he doesn't know he's there.
What the fuck was that? That makes no sense. You
no
must have
sense of
50
all.
Rounds here.
Yeah, fucking Parkinson over here. I can't shoot straight. And then even worse, right? Miz then jumps to the ground, grabs a gun, and he is no more than 5 feet from the baddie, and they're both just holding the trigger, spraying bullets everywhere and missing before Miz gets slightly luckier than him and hits him. He's a fucking marine. Oh, so bad.
Well, would you say this is the best scene in the film?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus Christ, it's the one I've given the most abuse, and it's probably the best.
So Miz is now in his damage makeup. 60% damage on Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Miz and Darren cross paths, and Miz tells him he does a good job so far. So we get the approving little sister's boyfriend story.
Eric yeah.
Winds on.
You know, and then Miz tells the boyfriend to go and leave. And I was like, I bet he doesn't, and either saves Miz or fucks up later.
Pope reveals his plan to blow up a building, taking 20 fat cats, metaphorically, obviously, but also thousands of workers with him.
So I was going to say, yeah, wouldn't it be better off blowing up a pound or something if you wanted to kill cats?
Or just go to Teddy Hart's house. So that's his plan. He's going to kill really rich people, but also thousands of poor people, thereby kind of ruining his ideals, or kind of, well, you don't mind hurting the people to hurt the bad guys, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's, okay, he is a heel. Please don't side with him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Miz makes it all the way to Pope and Lily, but is battered and left for dead as the heels drive off with their hostage.
And who was he battered by? The bloke he had just shot from 5 feet away.
Oh, really?
That's yes. Cool, yes, remember, like, he came up and he was holding a side, and then Pope told him to take care of Miz. I'm like, pretty sure Miz is already taking care of him. He's fucking pissing blood. Like. I have it here. Mr. Shotman is now Grant. Yeah, so Mr. Shotman.
Mr. Shotman.
Mr. Shotman is now Grant, despite having been shot from point blank range with an assault rifle not moments ago.
Wouldn't he be torn in half?
He would be, yes, he would be fucking Bishop from Aliens lying somewhere. Yeah, just not white.
Racist.
Mr. Boyfriend Darren. Comes back and shoots him, and himself and Miz have a bromant. They're clearly bromosexual.
So Darren shoots the goon, and Miz appreciates that. They summarily find the explosive cases and building blueprints, and the gerbil wheel starts turning.
This is probably the worst part in the entire movie, because up until now, the leader has been very clever, everything meticulously planned out, and all of a sudden he just happens to leave everything behind. It just, with the exception of it forwarding the plot of the movie, it makes no sense.
Oh my god, I also left this moped with the keys in. Well, I suppose it's either that or have the scene where the heel talks to the Miz and explains his plan and then leaves the cronies to get him.
Yeah.
Miz grabs a conveniently placed dirt bike and pegs it.
Next scene, the FBI use a bunch of vans and cars to cordon off the baddies to set up for like a shootout.
Pope sets off the bomb timer, scheduled for one fall, 5 minutes.
So the cops are all out of their cars and they're shooting at the baddies' car. Do they know it has a bomb in it?
No.
Because that's not very clever. So the baddies get out and they're shooting back. And I'm there shouting at the telly, Ginger, fucking get up and leave now. And she just won't. She just won't. Lazy bitch.
The shootout sees Comb-over Eckert gun down Taka Michinoku before being riddled himself.
Did you see him?
No.
He looks just like Taka if he, like, lost his wife and his kids and his money or, you know, just, oh shit, bro.
On foot, Pope takes Lily at gunpoint again.
Hold on. Yep. This is the greatest teleport of them all. Because 1 minute, Pope is around the main street and he's shooting at the baddies. And it's literally cut and he is there with Lily in the back alley. Yoga teleport, indeed.
So on foot, Pope takes Lily at gunpoint against Hark and the Miz. Miz proposes he let Lily go and they'll draw guns, like, you know, out of the Old West, that kind of thing. Which he agrees. To which Miz wins. Miz and Hark riddle Pope with bullets.
He goes down in a blaze of glory. I was really expecting some meaningful song to come, you know, like, while he's getting riddled, like, you know, you don't bring me flowers. It's like, he went out in a very face way. It was very strange.
And you don't bring me flowers anymore.
He went down in a blaze of glory.
Bon Jovi in the background.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Imagine if she was so mentally ruined that she forgot to tell him about the bomb. How amazing would that be? He's like, oh, I love you. So it's just everyone dead. Happy ending.
With the antagonist dealt with, it's time for a literal ticking time bomb. Miz finds the timer in the car with 86 seconds left.
As soon as I saw this, pause, note the time, rewind to when he clicks it on at 5 minutes, and I did such. And actually, it's been 3 minutes 24, so they're only 8 seconds out.
That's not bad, holy shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, especially considering that they've been saving so much time by teleporting.
Miz drives the car to an abandoned part of town. He fucking totals the car getting there as well.
Right. This is a police vehicle with the sirens blaring. Do people in small town America understand the meaning of a siren? Clearly fucking not, because every vehicle in vicinity tries its best to get in his way.
So the guy,
and they do.
It's all the guys with the fruit carts that are rolling out of town. Oh my god, go, go, go.
And for our only slow motion explosion of the movie, the timer goes out and Miz narrowly avoids that. A not that impressive explosion. He did it. Burger.
Right. He flips this car and A, lives. B, doesn't set the bomb off. And three, he hobbles away with, and they show this, there is very clearly 3 seconds left. At the speed he's hobbling, he is clearly teleporting also, because there's no way he'd fucking make it away. Like,
how is this explosion going to kill 20 fat cats and thousands of people?
This explosion didn't even blow the car up. It just burnt the car down. You may as well just poured a thing of petrol over it and a match in it, you know?
It's a very small statement that he's making. Generic teen rock plays as all the faces hug and laugh in slow motion.
His superhero walk was sickening, wasn't it? The only thing we were missing was the US flag to drape down out of nowhere.
That would have saved this
film. That would have made it better, actually, yeah.
Or the brother would say, oh, I love my sister, but I love my country more, and just goes to, like, an army sign-up stand.
Or maybe you can have a guy who's in the car next to the cop car and he's reading the script to the Marine Four, and then the car blows up and you see the script burn, fade to black. The end.
Question mark. The two couples embrace as Miz is left by himself, awkwardly smiling.
Fifth wheel, wasn't it?
And everybody's naughty, then freeze, finish. And we're done. Alright, that'll do it for tonight. Let us go to some kind of credits.
Credits!
Yeah, no interesting WWE credits. I was hoping to see, you know, EP, Vince McMahon, or, you know, that kind of thing.
You shocked that The Miz didn't break out, like, a fucking figure... No, sorry, not the figure four, because... be there all fucking day trying to do it. Like, you know, that he didn't break out a wrestling move.
That fight scene with Roddy Magoo, he did give him a choke slam through a table, but he, like, picked him up by his elbow.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then he bludgeons him in the face.
What a nasty, what a heel-like thing to do. It's like something out of The Walking Dead. Did you see it last week where someone closes the boot on someone's face?
That was so awesome.
In a sea of all, oh, it was great.
It's like a, what is it? Is that a coronal section of his head? Just this way. Jesus Christ.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. Yeah,
it was really awesome.
Yeah, what did you think of The Miz in an acting role?
Despite the abuse I've lavished on the film, I didn't find myself giving really any to The Miz. I thought he was okay. A billion times better than Ted Jr. He doesn't have the charisma of John Cena, but he's a better actor than John Cena, you know?
Is it quite easy to do a kind of stoic, sullen Terminator of an action character? I think it's a lot more difficult to do easygoing, you know, small talk, fleshing out the character. Like, that part, I'd imagine, is the hardest thing to do. And I thought he was very awkward. Like, it's weird seeing him smile, you know?
Yeah.
He's like a shark smiling.
Yeah, he never ventured onto being good. He just wasn't that bad.
Which is better than I can say for John Cena and the Marine.
Yes.
Yeah, so well done. Yeah, well done, The Miz. Yeah. I thought this was much better than I thought he'd do. Yeah, I thought very simple, straightforward shooting, you know, with the camera work. Nothing interesting, nothing snazzy, nothing pretentious either.
No cinematography in this movie at all.
It was just, there was a camera there.
It was functional.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It was literally just telling you this story. It had no hidden meaning, no metaphor, no nothing. Just, it's a Marine getting a sister back by bad violence.
Yeah. The action scenes of shootouts, I thought they're alright, but they're quite low budget and they're quite short as well.
It's just heavy editing. Like, you'd have thought that from a company who specialises in this when it comes to impact wrestling moves. Not impact wrestling. You'd have thought that a company that is used to doing these quick cuts in wrestling matches, they would be excellent at it. But it was
to hide the lack of
some
contact.
Of the worst editing I've ever seen. It was, did someone watch this movie back and not go, ah, here, boys, we've got to do something about this. Like,
maybe it's like a Burns for All Seasons where Mr. Burns is like, oh, I've set you free, Mexicans. And he's on the donkey and then runs away and he's like trailing behind it on the ground. It's like, we took 17 takes and that was the best.
Maybe.
Like, you know what you're getting into when you watch a wrestling film. And as well with a third rethread of the same story.
This is the definition of average movie. I'd never say I enjoyed it. I thought it was all right. It was fine. Don't watch it.
Yeah, just watch our review.
Yeah. And tell other people to watch it.
Awesome, boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, alright, hope you enjoyed this quick look at the Marine 3 Homefront. And we will be back, hopefully soon enough, however Ook can get off his arse, and we will review the 92 Royal Rumble, WrestleMania 8, just in case.
So remember, you can catch all of our episodes, fuck, free of charge in an IMAX flavored 4:3 full screen at oswreview.com, and leave us a nice message, you cunts. So it's a goodbye from V1.
Take care.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, a winner is you.